Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is the Ramon Foster Show here at Nakama in Wexford. I'm Paul Zeiss with Ramon Foster. We are brought to you by Archie's on Carson Street as well as Solomon Auto Group. Text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Ramon,
yeah.
You had a rough one yesterday. I think there were some things that you can build on, but you've got to overall be a little bit frustrated that you came out of there with a loss.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing we needed was a win. Because the thing is, when you lose, if you're 0-for, everything you do is like, what do I need to do to win? What do I need to do? Do I need to park in this parking spot instead of this one? Do I need to put my left sock on instead of my right sock? If I put my shoulder pads on this way, you try to find ways to win, and it's all, honestly, stuff we can control on the field. I mean, we last 6 minutes of the game, we had them, you know, in the sense of what we were supposed to do, run the ball out, or no, run the clock out. And we just simply didn't. And as good as our defense played yesterday, I mean, when you leave your defense on the field for that long, they will tire out. And now I'm not saying they're getting tired, but it just shows that if you are on the field more than the other team's offense and you're beating down a defense, you can kind of expect certain things. And with that, that falls on, the offense. They did everything they were supposed to do yesterday. And we, as the offense, came up short.
You guys, you know, you obviously came into the game with a brand-new quarterback. I mean, his first game as a starter. It seemed like early in the game, really tried to protect him with play calls that were a little bit conservative and things. Were you just trying to get his feet wet in that first half? Because in the second half, you started letting him throw it.
Yeah.
And you started moving the ball. But in the first half, it seemed like you just kind of wanted to get his feet wet.
What a young guy. Like him, a first-time starter anyway. You always got to, you know, see where they are. You know, see if they can make the easy throws. See if it can, you know, check to what he needs to. Get the run game going. Like you said, get his feet settled in. And I think, honestly, we went into the locker room at halftime and just was like, screw it. Whatever we got to do, we got to win it. But we got to soften this up because they were throwing everything at us. I won't say everything at us, but I think the recipe for any team facing a young, new starting quarterback is light them up with blitzes, defensive fronts, try to hit them if you can. And we saw a lot of that yesterday. We got to do a better job protecting them, keep them more comfortable.
You think when you look at his overall game, I kind of felt like for a first – start,
yeah.
You know, he did okay. I mean, he actually had you guys in position to win a game, so you can't, you know, that's kind of what you're asking for at that point, right?
It is, and it was all, like I said, it was all there in front of us. I mean, you look at the you look at the Patriots game. That's the only game, honestly, where he's like, okay, these guys are just solely out of it. They were just better than these last two have been. Things that we could have controlled, should have, you know, taken control of. And with Mason being in, like you said, in a new role, we see he's a capable guy. We see he can get us going down the field. He can make the plays. He can make the throws. And we just got to support him. We all got to do our job in that.
Yeah, and now you guys, you struggled running the ball consistently.
Yeah.
That's been a thing all year. Really, if you look at the numbers, you know, there's probably lots of reasons for it, but it's got to be frustrating for you. You look at all the talent you have on your offensive line, it's like we're supposed to be the unit that you put
down. Yeah, we've been in the least the last 5 years,
right.
One of the best offensive lines in the league, and
right.
For whatever reason, it's just not working. And I think it goes back to just making our plays, you know. And I say that with us up front, you know, the blocks. We faced a lot of people in the box as far as, you know, them trying to stop us, but that shouldn't be a big deal. We got to find ways to be more creative to get our guys going. You know, if that means triple teaming one guy, I don't care what it is up front. We just got to get it going. It's not many things we care about as far as O-linemen, but that stat of being able to run the ball sits heavy on us. Like you can tell us we blocked 20 pass plays in a row, we get 500 yards. That glory goes to the wide receivers and the quarterback.
Right.
But if we can only get 60 yards a game, you know, people start to get fired over stuff like that. And I'm not trying to be in that boat or have us be a team with us a conversation, just being completely honest.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, you know, that's an area where obviously you guys can get better at. But yeah. The good news is you guys have done it before. I mean, you guys have done it for 4 or 5 straight years. You've proven you can be one of the best running teams in the league.
Yeah.
So even though right now I think you're 27th, 28th, something yeah. like that.
We got to crack right. the middle somewhere.
Exactly, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But the thing is, too, is what we're dealing with is, like I said, we're in the phase of 0-3 right now. And, you know, I can always go back on history. Well, we've been there before, you know, because we have. But I still tell you, it sucks. I don't know how other guys are feeling. Well, I know the guys I talk to on the daily feel like the old linemen, like, we're not, you know, at peace with this feeling. So I personally, like, just erased all my social media from my phone. There's no nothing just because I'm like, I can't deal with this. There's so much that goes into 1 week of preparation for one game on Sunday, Monday, or Thursday that it bothers you. And right now we're just in a bothersome state. And anybody that says, you know, losing, streaking and losing is okay, is they're a liar, and I'm not okay with that either.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, you have talked to, obviously, your teammates and things. There's nobody yet ready to get down on themselves, right? You guys are, I mean, you still feel like you can dig out of this, but it's obviously got to be one game at a time and sort of thing. But you do have a little bit of a hole to get out of now.
It's still early. Like I said, it's not nothing where you'd be like, all right, we're tanking, because that'd be the last thing, considering we just trade a first round, which he played amazing this past weekend. This kid, Minkah Fitzpatrick, was phenomenal. So I don't think that's anything that's on anybody's mind. Is just get the first one. You know, that's where you sit when you're in a situation like, get the first one, then we roll from there, because then you find out, okay, what works for us. Right now, when you're in a situation where you're losing them and you're doing some good things and you got some bad things, you tend to look at the bad things a whole lot more, because you think you did more of that in a loss. If you do some good things in a win, you're like, okay, well, we got to do a little bit more of that. Right now, you're in a position of just searching, trying to find out what you need to do and what's best for you.
Yeah. You know, you said that there was a lot, you know, the San Francisco threw a lot at you.
Yeah.
You know, front-wise, blitz-wise, you know, this and that and everything. Do you feel like until Mason Rudolph sort of settles in, that'll be what you'll see a lot of that the next few weeks?
I'm telling you right now, it'll be a blitz where one of our guys go yard or something like that, and that's what's going to settle everybody else down and attack them. Because the thing about it, you get lawless when you're going against young quarterbacks. You guys have seen it. If there's a young quarterback in, the spreads are tilted a little bit different until they start proving themselves. I mean, I'm sure Jacoby Brissett's line is going to be a whole lot different now. And what did he go, 16 for 16? And he won big. So that's just how the league goes, man. They find ways to try to break you. What's your weakness? What can we rally you at? And Mason's a guy that's going to be able to fight up out of that, make some plays for us, and we'll settle down.
Yeah, I mean that's really what you need. I mean, you just kind of need to – hit a couple plays.
Yeah.
I know Phil Bennett used to be the defensive coordinator at Pitt way back when. You know, old school.
You sound
guy.
Like Tonchin Wolf right now.
Yeah.
Talking about some old school, old.
And he goes, he always said, if you know, when a team blitzes, one of the bands is going to be playing. You better make sure it's yours, right?
Absolutely.
Yesterday, their band got to play a little bit.
It did, but we still had them on edge.
Right.
We just in closing with everything that we saw, I think it was only, was it one sack or two sacks? Even with all of that, too.
Yeah.
Heck, how many times we hit their quarterback? You know, it's a lot of things that we did good. It's just that we got to put it all together. I mean, we even had Alejandro on a punt block yesterday, which was kind of cool. Yesterday was his birthday, by the way, too. So we were trying to get him a win on his birthday. So we just came up short, man. And we got to deal with the stigma of West Coast trips and it's a lot that goes into it. So that game had a lot riding on, especially for me personally, because I've gone through a lot of that era of West Coast and just, you know, fighting to get a win.
Yeah. Now you are you feeling the effects of travel? Like, is it like the day after when you feel the effects of going across country and coming all the way back and the time change and all that stuff? Is it like today the day that you kind of feel it a little bit?
Today is the day. I have been tired all day long, and I don't think that I've rested. I've taken cat naps and all that. Nothing. It's just that back and forth. The going is okay. Because, like, I think I got up at 6:15, wheels up at 8:30. You go out there, you do all the team stuff, and I woke up even still at 4:45. And it's just – so I've been up since 4:45, played a football game, flew all the way back, got in at 2:30, went to bed at about 3 o'clock, and I was up at what was it, 6:45, you know, with my boy. So, yeah, I'm feeling it right now. But that's – no complaints. I enjoy this, okay, because we get to rolling again, and we compensated for it, so why not?
Yeah. You guys have a you guys have what, today off and tomorrow? Do you go back in Wednesdays when it starts?
We got a film tomorrow. I think Coach Steele's pushed it back one day, but I'm not sure. I'm sure if I say that, some fans are going to be like, you need to be in there every day. So I don't know what it is. I just know we're in tomorrow.
No, is that a real thing you said? Like when things are going bad, you kind of shut off social media for a little bit?
I do. Like, I don't – one. I'm not one of those guys that like to do it too much anyway. I do it to have fun, what I do. Like, I always do, like, a Q&A on there sometimes. And I just don't like to over-glorify yourself or consistently post because there's some – this is a very humbling league. You put a picture of you stiff-arming somebody or me pancaking somebody, guess what? Somebody's going to see that and be like, well, I got to get him, you know? So I'd rather not deal with that stuff. And I hate to also be posting a lot when we're up, and then when we're down, it's like, well, what are you doing? Where are you at now?
Right,
so
right.
It's social media is finicky to me.
Well, you're the one thing you're missing out on is O.J. Simpson talking about his fantasy team. And, you know, he's made a lot of videos these last few days because, like, his first round pick was Andrew Luck. His second round pick was Saquon Barkley, I think. His third round pick was Antonio Brown.
No.
Yeah, he said, my team sucks. That's what he said. I'm going to tell you, I know the history of him, and I know everything that's going on, and I know why he's so polarizing. Yeah. But his Twitter account makes me laugh.
You like
it? I'm sorry. It makes me laugh. It does.
I've seen a couple. The one where he was talking about AB was hilarious to me because I'm like, I think he's also made Knife Him Up references and stuff.
Exactly.
I'm like, you got to chill. And who would ever think, what is OJ, 82, 83?
72.
He's 72?
72, 73,
this guy's on Twitter, and he's actually beasting it. He's changing what people think of him right now.
Well, he's just fun. I mean, like I said, the other day when he said he got some of the best advice from some of the best legal minds in the world. You know, a few years back, I got some of the best. He was trying to give AB some legal advice.
No,
I'm like, you're really not going there, are you?
A couple decades later.
Yeah, but he is. That's what he's doing. He's Ramon Foster, and I'm Paul Zeiss. We're in the Common Wexford. It's the Ramon Foster Show. We got to get to a break. It's 93.7 The Fan. Welcome back. We are at Nakama in Wexford. It's the Ramon Foster Show. I'm Paul Zeiss here with Ramon. I'm just your sidekick, right? I mean, that's basically.
You, I keep telling you, you are the show. I was just listening to you do the intro right there. I'm like, Paul has a radio voice. Like, you can do TV too, but it's like you hear him on the radio. It's like, who is that guy? Like, they want to tune in to hear you, Paul, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what happened. Today I just got a text a little bit ago that they asked me if I could do the nightly sports call tonight, the TV show. And I said yes, but then I realized I look like a terrorist. I mean, I haven't shaved. You know what I mean? I had a really busy weekend. I'm like, well, hopefully they understand when I go there.
I'm actually from here.
Yeah,
I'm no threat.
Exactly. I'm not. I mean, but look at me. I mean, I gotta get my shaving hair on. But in the next 3 hours before TV,
you sound like Ryan Harris. When he used to make jokes like that because it's funny. Y'all are very familiar looking to it.
Yeah.
And he would be like, I gotta shave, bro. I'm looking like a terrorist. I'm like Ryan.
Yeah,
it's good when you can joke on yourself.
Yeah, you can. You know, I mean, that's one of those things that I'm like. I always have say I have the face for radio, but for some reason they keep putting me on TV, so I'll take it. You can follow us on Twitter at 93.7 The Fan, driven by Shorkey Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. The locations in North Huntington and the North Hills. Also, Fan Hotline is brought to you by Armstrong Business Solutions. So, Ramon, I heard you talking there in the break a little bit about your skills as a DJ. Now, is this something like you would like to explore when you're done playing? Like, really DJ, like, for real? Or
I would do just, like, family cookouts, reunions, kids' birthday parties, weight room playlists and stuff like that. No, I've always kind of been that way. Even when I was in college, you know, hopefully the statute of limitations over if I talk about Napster.
Yeah, Napster. Wow.
And you remember that on LimeWire and stuff. But I've always loved music. Always. My family always played music. Just so I've kind of just, like, grown to love it. And mixing is one of those things where not everybody can do it. And the first time you like you get up on the board and you start to jigga, 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 yeah. And that's all you want to do. And you don't realize there's so many other things you can do. The Castro had me as a Secret Santa one year, and it was the year Dave had his contract. It was phenomenal, okay? I was glad to have Dave as my Secret Santa. He bought me a laptop and a mixing board. And I it was by far one of the coolest things I ever had. And it was really cool. He bought me an Apple laptop. It was crazy. I was like, Dave, you didn't have to do this, but I'm not going to give it back to you. I'm going to take it. So I've done some mixing. I've made a couple lists and stuff like that. And when Ryan Clark was here, he had a competition. And I felt like I should have won it because I came in and mixed on site. Other guys had pre-recorded mixes, and I was like, this is cheating.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you don't know how long it took them to do that.
You know, but the thing was a performance, and they just pushed the button and just rocked the crowd. I was like, come on. But that's something that we may end up doing here in the near future, is just having a little contest between me and some of my teammates as far as being a DJ.
Yeah, now when you do it, what is the music that you, I mean, are you all hip hop and rap? Are you R&B? Are you like me, old school? Or what? I mean, what do you
like? I like to mix old school with the new school songs. If I hear like an old sample, I'll be like, watch this. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna play the new version of it. It was by far one of the biggest discoveries I found this summer was Prince's "If I Were Your Girlfriend" song. That song was sampled by Beyonce and Jay-Z's 03 Bonnie and Clyde. And when I heard Princing, I'm like, who did this song? Like, I was searching up and down trying to find who sampled that song. And I come to find out that song had already been done by Prince in the early 80s or whenever it was.
Yeah, not to sound like an old dude, but I am kind of an old dude. I always get a kick out of it with my kids, you know, because, you know, now they're in their early 20s. But when they were, you know, teenagers not that long ago, I'd listen to their music, and they'd be going on and on about how, Dad, your music stinks. I'm like, listen. All of that stuff you're listening to, all of that, you know, hip-hop stuff and rap and everything, they've all sampled everything that I grew up listening to back in the day.
And the more I listen to it, the more I'm realizing it's nothing new. It's all stuff that's been done before. And, you know, you say you're an old guy now, so I'm 33. Now, since Ben's on IR, I am the oldest guy on the team, which is crazy, okay?
Really? 33?
Yeah, 33, I'm the oldest guy on the team. Nobody else, Ben to me. So, with that being said, I have always, since like year two, have been the resident DJ in the weight room. Mom, put the radio up. Okay, I was making mixes and everything. Now, I go and the young guy's like, dude, what are you playing? Like, we don't want to hear that. I'm like, I am not that far removed, okay? But it's some stuff that they love. I be like, what is this? So, I'm in a different boat as you, but we're rowing the same direction away from them.
I just think it was funny, though. It's, every so often, right, I'll hear a song, a new song, you know, and I'll call my daughter, you know, because she goes to school in New York. I'm like, hey, listen, that song is unbelievable. I really like it. You like this song? She'll be like, Dad, that's like almost a year old. You know what I mean? What are you doing with that? Everything you do is so far behind. Okay, well, I just wanted to tell you I like the new song.
That's how they treat me in the weight room now. I think they applaud whenever I leave and take my phone off of Bluetooth in the weight room now. So as music is one of those things, I cringe at some of the stuff that they do listen to. I'm like, have I either my ears have transitioned over or this music is bad?
You know, I tell you, if you go into the Pirates locker room, you know, they've got a lot of, you know, Spanish guys. What's interesting about the baseball is they have, you know, the Trevor Williamses of the world who are into, like, Metallica and all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
And then they've got the Latin guys. And So I guess they somehow rotate who's in charge of the jukebox when you're – so, man, I'm going to tell you what. There is some really good Latin music, you know, stuff that is like really, really good. And I'm like, if someone could sample and put that with some other kind of like R&B and hip hop beats, now that would really be good.
That's so funny you say that, because that's all Alejandro talk about. Because, you know, he speaks like eight different languages. Right. And Spanish is like the one he'd rather speak. And this guy's like, I'm telling you. Reggaeton is this the way? I'm like, stop. He's like, Spanish music is the most universal music ever. I'm like, relax. Well, why are you dancing to Young Jeezy then and Lil Wayne? But, you know, it's just, Al is, that's one thing he always says, Spanish music, Latin music is always a universal thing.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you, I actually enjoy going into the locker room like when they win, which doesn't happen that often, but when they do win, they get to play some music. It's really good.
I would talk about them with winning and losing the music, but I refuse to right now. We just got to wait on the Penguins to come out, and I guess we start winning too.
Once you start winning, then we can laugh at my joke.
We can laugh at your joke.
Right.
Exactly.
The one day I was actually there in between, like now in baseball, the manager and the clubhouse, believe it or not, it's open, so let me do the math, 4 hours.
Oh, wow.
Is it 3.5 hours before
because
game time?
Because they got to get hitting and all of that, I guess.
Right, but they do interviews, and you also interview the manager 3.5 hours before the game.
Oh, wow.
And then you go up and you write your story and stuff, and you got to wait for the game to start. Well, they're doing batting practice and fielding out there. They got the music blaring.
Blast,
it is some of the best. Like, I'm like, I wish I could somehow capture all of this.
Yeah.
It'd be a really good playlist for me.
I think one of the most interesting sports of all of ours, I think, is definitely baseball. Just the way they live. We were discussing last week at practice. I was like, can you imagine being on a road for 10 days? Like, that's got to blow your mind. And I think it would be awesome in a sense, especially if you're a young, unmarried guy, you're young, playing in a league and stuff like that. That would be one of the coolest things ever. But as some of the guys that know guys that play professional ball, they said they hate it. I'm like, well, why do they hate it? It's like, because you got to rotate your clothes. You got to find somebody to wash them. You got to pack. You're in hotels. You're moving. You can never get comfortable. I'm like, that still sounds pretty cool.
Exactly.
You get a chance to go somewhere like, I guess, let's say San Diego, if you were in wintertime in Pittsburgh or something like that. That would be really freaking cool.
Yeah, it would. He's Ramon Foster. I'm Paul Zeiss. We're at Nakama in Wexford. Come and join us. It's 93.7 The Fan. Welcome back. We are live at Nakama in Wexford, and we're here with Ramon Foster. It is the Ramon Foster Show. And we are here, I guess. Now, is it changing next week, Ramon? Is it Tuesdays next week or something? Or what?
It's
going to be Tuesdays next week.
Next week.
So if you got to do, if you set your alarm by the Ramon Foster Show, then you've got to come out on Tuesday.
Get those ratings up. So
yeah.
Set your alarm.
Exactly. And then next Tuesday, hopefully you'll be celebrating a big win over the Bengals.
Need that. Absolutely. And that's the thing about us, too, with how this schedule is set up. We face two NFC teams. We got two AFCs coming back to back, and we get those two, the division games. I mean, technically, we're in a good spot.
Right.
So it's no time to panic. It's just get your stuff together. It's finally, get figured out and make it fast because there's a lot of people depending on us. I always consider this city is one of those, I don't want to let the city down. My family, they're going to love me regardless. But here, you're trying to build a legacy. You're trying to be something. The only way you do that is winning big, or if you went lose a lot, and I don't want to do the last one. You don't want to be the man. You remember that 2019 team? I don't want to be a part of that.
No, you don't certainly want to be a part of that. Now, I was going to say the Bengals. It's going to be a little different for you. I mean, you don't have Vontaze Burfict. You don't have Pac-Man Jones. You don't have Marvin Lewis. It's a completely
era.
A lot of ways a new era, a new team. I mean, I'm assuming you're not going to miss playing against some of those guys.
Absolutely not. Although they were really good players, absolutely not. And what's interesting? Like I always look at the psychology of stuff. I kind of look at people or say, well, if you're doing it now, you need to be doing it later. That's how I always look at stuff. And it's going to be interesting to see if that aspect of it, which is gone, the Burfigs and stuff like that, is going to be still a part of that game. And we know that was some hard stuff going on in those games.
Yeah. No, those games, I tell you, even when you watch the Ravens games with you guys, right, it was always a real physical matchup. But I always thought it was a respectful kind of physical. When I watched the Bengals games, I always thought, boy, I'm surprised that there's not more fights that break out in this thing.
The way it was looking, it almost looked like guys have been personal with their with moms and wives and talking about brothers and uncles and stuff. That's the way it was looking out there. But it was just I'll be honest with you. For the people that said they love to see the gruesome part of the game, that's the game that people wanted to watch.
Yeah.
It's a little bit different now with the way the game is played.
Yeah, it is, absolutely. Well, now, is it different for you? Do you enjoy Monday night, or do you like – I mean, because Monday night, think about Monday night, you sit – I mean, I'm assuming you don't – you've got a family, so you probably don't sit around and watch football all Sunday afternoon, right?
Nah, not too much. We'll probably do some stuff outside the house because you get a chance. You sit around, you become – you get in a state of resting too much. So, but the thing is, usually that Monday is like, okay, we got a game, and then you got to get to the stadium around the 5 o'clock traffic time and want to be on schedule, and then that's the only thing going on too. That's one thing I always say about Monday nights is be who you want to be on Sunday and Monday night games, because there's nothing else going on other than football. So if there's a chance for us to put a stake in the ground, it's definitely coming up soon.
Well, and the interesting part about it is next Monday, if I'm not mistaken, I think I'm right. Next Monday, there won't even be baseball going on. Like, because the playoffs start like Tuesday, I think, next Tuesday or Wednesday. So my point is, you guys are going to be the only game in town.
Other than the regular sitcoms going on, we got to put on the show.
Yeah.
We got to figure this thing out. And what better night than Monday night? I know it's less than what we wanted, but heck, there's still a lot in front of us.
Yeah, well, again, there's, you know, a lot of people. this is how I think. This is how sometimes I think here. You know, Monday is generally the end of the book, if you understand what I'm saying. So, you know, there's a lot of guys that have had a rough weekend, and Monday night is their last ditch effort, right?
Yeah.
And they like to have baseball and all this other stuff. So basically,
they need options,
but, you know, to try and, you know, soften the blow from the weekend because, you know, Tuesday they got to pay the bill. Monday night, if you guys are the only game in town, there's going to be lots of action. You have a lot of angry people if you don't do what you're supposed to do.
I don't want to meet a guy named Benny, man. That's all I'm saying. We got to do our job. I don't need to see baseball bats in the stands and stuff like that. So. We'll be fine, man. We got some stuff we just got to clean up, and it's real simple, to be honest with you. That's no excuse making, no anything. It's just that we cause a lot of our own problems, whether it's in different aspects of a game.
I once had a Monday night game where I was the guy that needed some help on Monday night. And I decided to go over. It was, and I remember it like it was yesterday. It was 41.5 was the over, right?
Yeah.
I decided, oh, I'm going over. This game's easily over. It was 21-20 at halftime.
Whoa.
I'm celebrating, man. Yeah, I'm out of it.
Yeah.
Right? They didn't score in the second half.
Oh.
That's true story. Oh. Like, and they missed like three field goals, and one was blocked, and you know what I mean? The fumbled going into the end zone. I mean, like, fumbled going into the end zone and went out of the back of the end zone. Everything that could go wrong. And I'm telling you, and I don't, you know, participate like that, like I used to when I was a young dude, but you really believe that things are fixed. Like, they know. They know what I bet on.
What's crazy, though, is how accurate Vegas or those guys are. Like, they are, like, insanely accurate. And for the life of me, I'm like, well, why aren't you guys playing the lottery then?
Right.
You know, like, exactly. That is – how can you guess 40? Who thinks 41 in your case?
Yeah, 41.5. And it was 21-20. I'm thinking, oh, man, this is in the bag. And just –
I'd be so
pissed. Yeah. So, but Monday Night Football, to me, I still enjoy it. I know some people think it's different, but, you know, back in the day with Howard Cosell.
Yeah.
I think it's great because, you know, there are two teams that are put on this. Now, I hate the Thursday night games, but Sunday night, I mean, Monday night and Sunday night, I really enjoy those games.
I think Monday night is – Monday Night Football has got to be one of the most American things ever. You know, baseball is America's pastime and everything else. But I think you say Monday Night Football and you think America in the sense of, like, this is what we do. Like you said, it's two teams that are going against each other in front of our entire country, well, now the entire world, and you got to put on a show for them. And I think it's one of the coolest. That's what I remember as a kid. It's like, this is cool. Didn't know it was going to get to this, but it's, you know, you see yourself. I'm sure a young tennis star is like, I want to play Serena, and you got a 15-year-old that's doing it, you know?
Is there a little something extra in your step when you roll out onto the field? You see the lights. You know it's prime time. Is it a little different than a 1 o'clock game?
It is, absolutely, because I think for all youth, you either want to wear, like, black jerseys, black socks. You know, it's always something. Then you pull out a daytime game, it's cool, but you play at night – oh, the lights are on. I think it takes all us back to high school in a sense of Friday night lights is what you kind of think of in a sense, because you run into the 1 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 1 o'clock, and you get a night game. It's like there's nothing else going on. You know, I think it's the show aspect. I think the lights do mean something, mm-hmm. you know?
I can tell you my personal experience being in the stadium.
I'm shaking over thinking about it right now. Yeah.
The energy is different on Monday night, on primetime games than it is on 1 o'clock games.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I even think it's a little different at 4 o'clock. Like the 4 o'clock game's a little bit more, there's a little something more than the 1 o'clock games.
I do count our 4 o'clock games as like primetimes because there's not much else going on. Like this is – You are one of two or three options that you got to watch on TV, and I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, those games are fun too. Yeah. So you basically just sit around. I mean, how do you like keep your mind? If you got a prime time, like if it's a 1 o'clock game, it's easy. You wake up and you probably almost have to go down to the state, you know, the stadium.
Yeah.
But if it's an 8 o'clock game, you know, and I've talked to like basketball coaches and this and that, and how you know like. College hoops coaches, you go on the road and you got an 8 o'clock game. Or college football coaches, they go on the road and they got an 8 o'clock game. They've got to find ways to occupy their players' minds.
Yes.
They don't want them just sitting around all day doing nothing.
Yes, that's one of the I think the ones that can be challenged is when you're on the road. Like you say, you're in the hotel and you're there all day long. You got to get up and walk around, and you got to get around. It's little stuff, like you said, you got to occupy your time with. At home is just one of those things where you just be like, just don't make sure nobody gets on my nerves. You know, it's just one of those things. Like, don't do anything crazy. Don't be going into the mall. And it's just when I'm at home, I'd rather be calm and just wait for the show because that drive into the stadium on your own terms is cool.
Yeah. No, I could believe it. You get in there. And do you ever, like, when you're driving through, do you ever, like, do you ever come the way where you actually get to sort of see the tailgaters and stuff? Does that get you excited?
I'm envious of those people.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, you guys are living the most stress-free life ever. And my nerves are already going crazy to go perform for you. I've never tailgated. So I've always been playing. And to see people, it's one table when I get off on the ramp. This guy has a table about as long as ours. It's just full with alcohol bottles and mixers. And they got food. I'm like, these people are just having a great time right now.
Yeah. And you know what's really cool? And you've never experienced it because you're always in the stadium. But it, especially for a night game because they've been tailgating for a while, when you drive across the bridge, the Fort Duquesne Bridge, like you're going towards the point there.
Yep.
If you open your windows, you can smell the barbecues it's pretty, and that's like, man, this is game day. Like the whole atmosphere is taking over there.
And that's what I mean by like doing great for the city, because that type of stuff right there is cool. It gives people something to look forward to, and I enjoy seeing. I also feel like when I drive through, it's like, who's gonna spot me? Who's gonna spot me? Then you realize they're out there having a great time. They don't care about who's driving by. When Ben usually comes to the stadium, he drives but the doors come off of it. And I'm like, why is he able to drive in like this? Because people really don't care. You know, they're there to have a good time, and then they know the show is later. So it's pretty cool.
That is absolutely. Well, Ramon, good luck on Monday against the Bengals. And I'm sure you say
Bengals.
Against the Bengals. And we will do it again next week. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy, Route 19 in the South Hills. Great incentives on existing 2019s and all new 2020s. Tonight, high of 67, chance of rain. Tomorrow, high of 72.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.